I'm Gabriel Spitzer, you're listening to Sound Effect, and this week we're sharing stories of childhood dreams. So this next dream is so classic that it's almost cliche. Finding buried treasure. Yeah, it sounds like fairy tale stuff, but you know what? There is an actual treasure chest out there, and it's just waiting for somebody to find it. Now, there's no treasure map, but there are clues, and they're hidden in a poem.
Begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown.
That's from The Thrill of the Chase, which is a poem by Forrest Fenn. So Fenn was kind of a larger-than-life guy. He was a Vietnam vet turned fancy art dealer. And when he was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, Fenn decided to put some of his valuable collection in a chest, hide it somewhere in the western United States, and then publish this poem to tempt treasure seekers. Hundreds, maybe thousands of them have gone looking. So no one has found it, not even Dale Neitzel, who is an actual professional treasure hunter.
We'd rather be called search and salvage experts. When people say treasure hunter, they think of pirates. Although I have to admit, sometimes it's fun to wear a patch over my eye and swagger around a little bit.
Neitzel's from Bellingham. His background is in shipwreck salvage. But these days, his main quarry is Fenn's treasure. He's gone out looking more than 60 times. And he runs a blog about the quest.
I spend most of the winter in my free time looking at his poem and trying to determine what it means. And then when the spring comes, I'm roaring to go. I head out to where I think I'm going to start looking for the treasure. And I begin looking. I begin following the 9 clues to see if I'm in the right place, if I'm going to end up at a treasure chest. You have to figure out what Forrest is talking about before you can even begin. For instance, he says, begin it where warm waters halt. What does that mean? Where does warm waters halt? And so you have to go through this this process of trying to interpret. And what first attracted me to this was the puzzle.
So you've talked about spending, who knows how many hours and days poring over that poem. Have you started to drive yourself a little crazy looking for strange connections and patterns and things like that in it?
As many people as there are in the universe, that's how many different ways there are to interpret this poem. And my belief is that it's direct. A lot of people do other things with the poem. They believe that the poem might have anagrams. Some people believe that hidden in the words in the poem are actually coordinates that will take you directly to the treasure chest. But I don't believe any of that is true. I believe that it's just a straightforward trying to figure out where it is that warm waters halt.
So can you tell us one story of one of the adventures you've had out searching for the treasure?
Forrest spent all of his summers from the time he was a child up until he left for the military at Yellowstone National Park. So I kind of believe that Yellowstone is the special place to him. And last year, I was starting where warm waters halt, and I was following this and following that, and I had ended up walking alongside the Madison River. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw what I thought was the chest. We know its dimensions. We have a photo. We have photos of it. It's 10 inches by 10 inches by 5 inches deep. And this thing was 10 inches by 10 inches by 5 inches deep. It looked to me like it had a latch on one side. It looked bronze, and it was just sitting there in the water. I grabbed my camera. I took a couple shots of it, and then I leaped into the water to get this thing. And, of course, as soon as I touched it, I decided that it was not the bronze chest.
Ah.
It was, in fact, a concrete pier. But it sure did fool me, and I'll tell you, my heart was going.
How big is the universe of searchers and seekers and people who have been kind of beguiled by this story?
We certainly don't know exactly. We can only take guesses. My blog, I'm getting about 1,200 hits an hour. I get roughly 200 emails a day from folks, and Forrest gets about twice that amount. He believes that last summer there were some 35,000 people out looking for the chest.
Wow. So there's enough people out there. Do you ever run into another searcher when you're out searching?
All the time. I ran into a fellow one day in Montana. I was in a cafe, and at the booth across from me, there was a fellow sitting there, and he had Forrest's book out in front of him. And I thought, well, this guy's a searcher, you know. I should strike up a conversation with this guy. And it turned out this guy is a preacher from Kansas, and his congregation sent him out to look for the chest to raise money for the church. I thought that was pretty interesting.
What is the community of searchers like? Like, what is the dynamic? Because on some level, you know, thinking back to the Gold Rush, for example, you guys are all sort of competing with each other, but you only have each other who can relate to this obsession that you've got.
On the blog, it plays out with a lot of sharing, which is interesting. People often share their solutions with one another, and they do that to try and get folks to critique. And a lot of times, and this is the part of the blog that I like, there's a lot of support there for folks. There's a lot of, well, you know, I tried that once before, and here's the problem I had. This past winter, in January, we had a fellow who didn't turn up after going out and looking. Forrest tells us not to look in the winter, but some people can't resist. And unfortunately, Randy and his dog Leo went out into the Rio Grande to where Randy had a solution, and Randy didn't come back. And the searchers themselves from New Mexico decided they needed to look more. So they put together a team of searchers by foot. They rented helicopters. Folks actually donated drones and drone time to go out there and search.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I mean, this must be dangerous business. And I guess more broadly, even for those for whom it's not dangerous, there's at the very least the danger of wasting your time and your resources. For 99.99% of the people who are searching, you're going to come up empty. Why still do it?
It's fun. You don't have to find it to enjoy the search. You know, we've heard stories about parents who have bonded with their kids. They spend a couple weeks thinking about the poem. You know, they do it around the dinner table in the evening. The family agrees on a solution, and then they spend their summer vacation checking it out and having fun.
What do you think of the chances that you will find the treasure?
Zero.
Really?
Or 100. Every time I set out, I think I'm going to find it. But I have to tell you, the very first time I went out for this treasure chest, that was the time I thought I had it. I had convinced myself that I knew exactly where it was. Everything fit. It's a 24 solid hours of driving to get out to where I thought the treasure was. And that whole 24 hours, I was imagining how I was going to spend a million or $2. I was planning on a new van, and I needless to say, I got out there and I didn't find it, but I was never, ever disappointed. People sometimes ask me what will happen if I do find the treasure, and I always say, well, right after I get up from passing out, I'll probably pack the chest up in the trunk of my car, throw a blanket over it, and slowly, without exceeding the speed limit, go to Santa Fe to show it to Forrest.
Well, Dale Neitzel is a documentary filmmaker based in Bellingham. He also does search and salvage, and he runs a website dedicated to the search for the hidden treasure of Forrest Fenn. Thank you so much, Dale, for sharing a little bit of your adventure with us.
Thank you very much.